بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. As we mentioned yesterday, that we had now completed the incidents that had taken place in the fifth year after Hijrah, and we now move on to the sixth year after Hijrah. In the beginning of the sixth year, around the 10th of Muharram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama radiyallahu ta'ala to the region of Najd, and he was sent to the tribe of Banu Bakr bin Kilab. Why he was sent to them is that this tribe had assisted the disbelievers when the kuffar had come for the battle of Ahzab. So this tribe had assisted them, and they were in the forefront of causing all the mischief, part of the alliance. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now you see the you have to understand the mood now, right? The battle of Badr, the mushrikeen got a shock of their lives, and they thought they're going to just finish the Muslims up now. They came with a mighty force, right? But they got a shock of their lives. There is now doubt being created in the minds of the people. The Quraysh were the most powerful tribe, and they couldn't defeat these Muslims, right? But then the battle of Uhud takes place, and in Uhud there is no real victory, there is no real defeat on both sides. So now people again getting a bit of confidence in the Quraysh. All the tribes around are waiting to see what the Quraysh does. If the Quraysh brings Islam and Iman, all would bring Islam and Iman. Many tribes that wanted to accept Islam also, but they were holding back because out of fear for the Quraysh. The Quraysh was the strongest tribe. Now after the battle of Khandaq, the people now, the Quraysh also were finished. They too had to go back. They couldn't enter Medina Sharif also. The people also, they're thinking that now, who are these people? Who are these Muslims? What are they? What help do they have? Why is it that this mighty Quraysh, with all the alliance, with all the force, everything, they couldn't enter Medina Sharif, they couldn't defeat the Muslims? And the exact same question is being asked around the globe today. That America, with all its forces, had such an alliance, went to attack one small country, Afghanistan, those bichara people with champals running in a mountain, old Kalashnikovs they got, and they couldn't defeat them. Till now they still puzzling away. They went into Iraq, they say weapons of mass destruction, this, that, didn't find nothing. So many body bags came home, still nothing happening. Same story in Palestine. For so many years, from the 60s, these Muslims with stones in their hands, but they are holding out against the enemy. So who are these people? This is why Islam is the fastest growing religion in the West. It's the fastest growing religion in the West. This is why when the 9/11 took place, you couldn't find the Quran Sharif in the States. Every bookshop, every kitab shop was sold out of Quran Sharifs. Because the disbelievers wanted to read this holy book. Now, what is this Quran Sharif? What are these people following? Who are these people? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got his own system. Allah Pak has got his own system. So this at present now, in the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mood is that there is a type of an awe that is being instilled in the hearts of the enemy. That is, the Quraysh cannot take these people on. Then what nusrat do these people have? Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to cement this. He needs to cement this because we need to put an end to these skirmishes with the enemy. We got work to do. We got da'wat. Right? We have to spread the word of deen. The whole of Hijaz has to become Muslim. Shariat has to be established. So there's a lot of work to be done. So we need to once and for all cement it, that people now don't take a chance. They don't just think now they can just take a chance with the Muslim, take a chance with the Muslim. So this tribe is Bani Bakr. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu ta'ala. When they got there, the Muslims attacked them. They basically all just gave up, right? 10 of them were killed, the rest of them ran. And Muslims received some booty and they came back to Madina Munawwara after about 19 days. On the 29th of Muharram, they returned to Madina Munawwara. On their return, when they were returning, this group of Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu ta'ala, they captured the leader of the Banu Hanif tribe. The leader of the Banu Hanif tribe was a person by the name of Sumama bin Usal. Now this Sumama bin Usal later on becomes radiallahu ta'ala, and we do his whole incident now, how he brings iman. So they capture him and they bring him to Madina Munawwara. Now what mission was he on? Sumama bin Usal had been dispatched by Musaylama Kazzab to go and assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was on this mission. Sahaba radiyallahu ta'alanum capture him. They bring him to Madina Munawwara. Had it been any other leader, they would have executed him same time. But when he is brought to Madina Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a hukam that he should be tied to one of the pillars in Madina Munawwara. He must be tied there. He is tied, he is put on this pillar, and the first day of his capture now, he is in Madina Munawwara, he is in Masjid al-Nabawi, he is tied to the pillar. So he is observing now the Muslims, how they are coming, they are reading Salah, their Tahajjud, all this he is seeing of the Muslims. Because in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Masjid was every day, like how our Masajid are in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The activities that are taking place in our Masajid in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, this was a normal activity daily in the Masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a person wanted to see Islam, he must come to the Masjid. He will see Islam. Right? In our time, if the person bicharo, if he comes away to the Masjid, if it's not a namaz time, he may only meet couple jinnats or something. The only thing you see is some decor, some smart carpets, one two smart clocks, something, and then he'll go away. What is going to learn about Islam in the Masjid? So Sumama, the first day now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the first day of his capture, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes, is walking past him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, he said, "Oh Sumama, what do you have to say? So what's your story now?" So the Sumama, he responds and he says that I have good thoughts regarding you. He says, if you have to kill me, if you kill me, you are killing a person whose killing is justified. That you won't be wrong. If you kill me, you won't be wrong. Because I was coming to commit such a crime that now I was captured. So if you have to kill me for that, then you are justified. You won't be making any zulam. However, if you are kind and favorable towards me, means if you don't kill me, you release me, then you will be favoring a person who is very grateful. So I won't forget your ihsan. I will reward you. I will do whatever I can do within my capacity to pay you back for this great favor. And if you desire wealth, then I've got an abundance of that. I can give you how much wealth you want. I will give you wealth. In other words, if you want me to pay a ransom for my release, then you name your price, I got enough resources, I will get the ransom paid. On hearing this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent and he went away. He left him. Another day passes, another 24 hours, he sees again activities of the Muslims, everything. He witnessed another 5 namazes, tahajjud, you know what and what other amal were taking place in the masjid. So on this end of the second day, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks past him again. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, "Oh Sumama, what you got to say? Ask him again now. What's your opinion now? You got anything to say for yourself?" So he responds in a similar manner like what he said the first day. But in the words of the hadith, there's few words that are different. His response of the second day is not exactly like his response of the first day. You actually see from the words that by the second day he had become more relaxed and more confident that he's not going to be killed. The way he responds on the second day, I can't remember exactly now, but I remember in the words of the Hadith Sharif, there is some slight variation in the second day. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves him. The third day again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats the exercise, goes to him again, asks him again what you got to say. So he responds again in similar words like he did in the first 2 days. So after this third day, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that release him, untie him, let him go. Set him free. He can go away. Now imagine this person had come to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hasn't brought iman, nothing. He just spent 3 days in the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quite confident that by this person spending these 3 days in the masjid, what he has observed of Islam and the Muslims, something definitely is going to take place in his heart. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has him released. He leaves the masjid, he goes to a nearby orchard, there is some water there, he takes a ghusl, makes himself pak, and he on his own accord now, he comes back to the masjid. Now he could have read the shahadat while he was tied there in the masjid. But he also didn't want to make it seem that he is just reading the shahadat because he wants to save himself from imprisonment or death or something. Now after he was freed, now he came back on his own accord. He came back to the masjid and then loudly he proclaims the shahadat. He recites, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Right? Then he goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and listen to the words. He says, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to my capture, prior to these 3 days, prior to me bringing iman, there was no face on earth more disliked to me than your face." He says, "But today there is no face on earth that is more beloved to me than your face." Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. You know, sometime you may have experienced when you were small, you hanged one jacket or you hanged one kurta or something, you're sleeping and your sleep breaks in the night. You wake up, now you're looking at the jacket. The jacket looks like many things. In the dark, in the night, the jacket looks like many things. You forget also that there's my own jacket I hang there. looks like many, many different things. But if somebody just put the light on, all the fears are gone. Now you can make out this my jacket, nothing else. Any person who cannot see the beauty of Deen is in darkness. Because the person is in darkness, that is why he thinks Islam is a religion of terrorism, Islam is like this, and Islam is backward, and they're unfair towards women, and they whole lot of different statements they make. Why? Because a person is in darkness. But when that person gets close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that person out of darkness and puts that person into light, now when that person sees Deen, he says there's no better thing than this. So the Sumama, he was in darkness. He was coming to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now when Allah Pak took him out of darkness and put him into light, now he says, the worst, the face that was most hated to me was your face. But now, the most beloved face to me is your Mubarak face. Then he goes on. He says, there was no religion more disliked to me than your Deen. The Deen that you had brought, I hated it. I didn't want this Deen. But today, Islam is the most beloved religion to me. There was no city more disliked to me than your city. But today, your city is the most beloved city to me. And now that he brought Iman, now that he has this love for Allah Ta'ala, and in a split moment, in a short, our maids are working for us for years. We can't impress upon them the beauty of Iman and Deen. This person just 3 days. 3 days of it. I'm feeling cold. It's fine. Put it off, leave it on. Sorry. So, 3 days he stays in the company of the Muslims, and what a transformation. And this transformation is not just a soda water josh. Because you see what happens after this now. Right? One is sometime a person goes in the company of the Shaykh, he gets one heavy fikr, he gets now, he's on a high. After 2-3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, finish. Khalas. But here this person has come 3 days only, spent with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And now see what happens. He now puts his whole life's mashwara in the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my intention was to go for Umrah. But now I brought, now you may be thinking now what Umrah he was going to perform. The Mushrikeen used to also perform Umrah in their own lopsided, upside down way. But they used to go to Baytullah and they used to make some Tawaf and they used to make some Umrah also. They used to make Hajj also. So he says, I was going to go to perform Umrah, but now I brought Iman. Now everything is in your hands. You tell me what to do. If I must stay away here, I'll stay away here. You give me mashwara, what should I do? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, no, you were going to go to perform Umrah, so go and perform Umrah. Now, when Sumama reaches Makkah Mukarrama, now obviously the kuffar are seeing him, now he's doing everything according to Islam now, right? He's a Muslim now, he's not worshipping idols now. So one of the kuffar says that Sumama has lost his deen, has become irreligious. Because they used, any person who becomes Muslim, they say he's Sabi, he's finished now, he got no religion, he left his religion of his forefathers, he's finished. So that person made the statement about Hazrat Sumama radiallahu ta'ala. So he replied, and he says, never, I have become a Muslim. I found Islam, now I got a religion. Prior to this I never had a religion, now I got a religion. I am following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentions few, he says, I have become obedient to Allah Pak and to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I am Allah's servant. And by the Qasam of Allah, I'll never return to shirk and I'll never return to, you know, the previous ways, etc. So they now were becoming rough with him. Kuffar, they were becoming rough with him. So he told them, you see the Banu Hanif tribe, they were responsible for supplying grain to Makkah Mukarramah. The grain used to come from their district. And he is the leader, the chief of that tribe. So he told them, he said, not a single grain will enter Makkah Mukarramah until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives permission. Now you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the ages always left power in the hands of the Muslim. The choice is the Muslim's whether he becomes greedy or he wants to use it. You see, today the enemies can't destroy Islam. The enemies cannot destroy Islam. The Muslim is destroying Islam. The enemies are just coming to finish up what the Muslim finish break. The enemy is coming to crush it. Right? The Muslim world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that everything today needs a fuel. Horse never needed fuel. Donkey never needed fuel. They ate fodder and carried on. Now all our transport, whether it is your fighter jets, whether it is your machines, whatever, aeroplanes, everything requires a fuel. And the fuel is in whose hands? The fuel is in whose hands? If the Muslims want, they can bring the whole world to their knees. All they need to do is close the oil tanks. But the problem is, the petrodollars. See? So greed, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. That's what it boils down to. Allah Pak left the power in the Muslim's hand. Like how Allah Pak made the Sumama radiallahu ta'ala become Muslim. The food of Makkah Mukarramah is now in the Muslim's hand. The power is, that time there was no oil. They didn't have boring to do boring and take out oil and everything. But they all had to still eat. They needed grain. So Allah Pak put the power that the Muslim could have brought Makkah Mukarramah to its knees. That was given in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hand. This person who was a disbeliever, he's coming to assassinate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He gets captured. Now he becomes a Muslim. And what a Muslim. What a mukhlis Muslim now he becomes. He's not worried about dollars now. He's not worried about money. Then never mind, we'll lose the business. We lose the business with Makkah Mukarramah. We won't be able to sell them grain. But we bring them to their knees. Power is in our hand. Today the Muslim got the same power, but he doesn't want to exercise it. The greed for dollars has taken over. So he stopped all the grain. No grain must come. Eventually, the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they sent a group, a delegation to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, Ya Rasulullah, we are family. So leave everything else, we family, connections. And your deen, you are promoting family ties. And your own family is hungry. There's no grain coming. Then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to the Thumama radiallahu ta'ala, don't stop the grain. Now look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart. What a heart. What they did to him. He could have told him, yeah, go. And then you get this Orientalist still say Islam was spread by the sword. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted, he could have made them starve. He would have told Sumama, right, don't send the grain, leave it. But Islam didn't spread like that. Islam spread through akhlaq, through compassion, kindness, mercy. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, Sumama radiallahu ta'ala, that no, you open the road for the grains to go to Makkah Mukarramah. So this was the incident of Hazrat Sumama radiallahu ta'ala. Then, if you can recall, if you maybe shake the scramble eggs a little bit, maybe you will recall this incident. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent these 10 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that certain tribes wanted for them to come and teach them. And then they acted treacherously, they surrounded the Sahaba. 7 of them were made shaheed, 3 were left. Then this kuffar told them, no, if you come down, we won't do anything to you all. So they came down, then they went to tie the one Sahabi up. He said, I'm not coming with you all. Eventually they had to martyr him. Then 2 were left. Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, he was taken with them. Hazrat Zayd bin Dasina radiallahu ta'ala, he was... He became Baliul Ard. You know, he did the whole... Hazrat Zayd bin Dasina was taken, the other Sahabi became Baliul Ard. So, we did that whole incident. Now, after this incident with the Banu Qurayza, then the Banu Bakr tribe, they were sorted out. Now, these people had also acted treacherously to the Muslims. Right? So now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched an army to them also. Dispatched an army to them. Now the whole, as I'm saying to you, you got to understand the mood at that time. That the thought was being created in the people's minds that, hey, who are these people? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now needed to cement this. That they mustn't think now they can take a chance. They can just take a chance. Right? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched 200 mujahideen. When they came to, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also went with, he also didn't only send them, he went with. And when they came to this Wadi Gharan, the valley of Gharan, this is the place where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were martyred. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped here and he made a lot of dua for those shuhada, and then he proceeded. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went forward, so this Bani Lihyan, this tribe that acted treacherously, they ran away. They left their homes, everything, they ran away, they went dispersed into the mountains. They didn't want to face the Muslims. But you see, this was, the object wasn't to go and fight them. The object was for this awe to be instilled in their hearts. That awe now had to be instilled in their hearts. So after this, when they ran away, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent 10 mujahideen, only 10, under the leadership of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and some say Hazrat Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala. He sent them behind these people. There was no, only 10 Sahaba, but they're still chasing them. So they went for quite a distance, like almost coming near Makkah Mukarrama. And then the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala returned to Madina Munawwara. As Maulana was mentioning in the Juma Bayan, on this occasion also, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala was left in charge of the affairs in Madina Munawwara. Because he couldn't take part in the jihad, but he was left in charge of the affairs in Madina Munawwara, because he had no sight, he was physically blind. Spiritually he had great sight, but physically he was challenged. What they say? Visually challenged. Impaired. Now it's same as, can't call a person blind. Blind is not nice. Don't use the word. It's visually challenged and visually impaired. Fair. Continue with that tomorrow if Allah gives us tawfiq and hayati. It's as happens every year around this time, everybody is asking about bayat and everybody wants to know, want to take bayat, and because you get mutakifin, then you get some people who are, Ramadan Sharif comes and everybody wants to make a change in their lives. Allah Pak makes it like a catalyst, becomes a means of us getting hidayat. Get some people going out in jamaat, some people, different decisions are made. One youngster came to me, I think it was this morning or something, so he said, Moana, I heard you starting this madrasa, this gap year course, but I heard you got only taking limited students, but I am going to matric next year, but I'm putting my name down for the following year now. So when I finish my matric, I'm first coming to do the gap year, and after that then I'll carry on studying. So I'm putting my name down from now, because there'll be limited place. So from now I'm putting my name down. Then another brother, another came to me that 25th night or one of the nights, he said, Mauna, confirming my name for the gap year course for next year. So it happens like that. Ramadan Sharif, Quran Sharif is recited. So everybody wants to try and make some change. So people who are inclined towards the soul, so they start looking for mashayikh. They want to make their tazkiyah, they want to make that change. Others will go in jamaat. Some will decide to go with Darul Uloom. Some will, different things. So it is very important that this concept is understood and it is explained. So we got about 10 minutes and start explaining it, and then in the next program we'll just explain a few more aspects. The first thing that we must realize is that when it comes to our tazkiyah, our purification of the soul, then this is a function that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent with. A part of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's responsibility to the ummah was to make the tazkiyah of the ummah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the believers when He sent from amongst them a Rasul. Right? What are the functions of this messenger? يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites upon them the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran Sharif. That's the first function. The second function of the messenger is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. He makes their tazkiyah, their tarbiyat, purification of their souls. The third function is وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَاب. One is he recited the ayat of the Quran Sharif. The other is he teaches them the tafsir of the Quran Sharif. Wal-Hikmah refers to the Ahadith and the Sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were the primary functions of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Tazkiyah was or is a very, very important, from the time of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a major branch of our deen. It is just unfortunate that it is something that is not taken seriously. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many places in the Quran Sharif, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Many places Allah Pak talks about this. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The person who fears standing in front of his Rabb and he restrains his nafs from following his evil desires. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. So many places the Quran Sharif talks about this. And then Mawlana was mentioning in the Jummah Bayan that Hadith Sharif, and Mawlana says that we mentioned it maybe 4 times or something this Ramadan. So let's make it 5 now, one more time. Mawlana's 1 time means 6. But the reality is this, that you see, we can bring a'mal into our lives. We can bring a lot of a'mal into our lives. But if the tazkiyah is not made, we will lose that a'mal. When a person buys a property, you see, Allah Pak says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, right? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ. That's the first thing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites upon them his ayat, Quran Sharif, the ayat of the Quran. That's the first thing. The second thing is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. He makes their tazkiyah, right? Then he teaches them tafsir, then he teaches them hadith. Now, the example that Allah Pak is putting in my mind right now, first time I also thought about this example. With Allah's fazal and your barakat, a person purchases a piece of land, buys a piece of land which he wants to develop. First he needs the land. But before he starts doing anything, he first puts a wall around or a fencing. Even the contracting company, if they coming and they're going to do work, first they put on fence around. Why? If we don't put the fence, while building, a lot of material is going to get stolen. People will just be walking in and out here. Things will go missing. So first we put a fence around. After putting a fence around or a wall around, now we start building. Now what we build will be secure, it will be safe. Tazkiyah is exactly that fence around. The fencing around is the tazkiyah. If a person doesn't make his islah, then he'll be building, but the material will be getting stolen, he won't know where it's going, he'll be putting so much effort into the building, but he won't see nothing happening, nothing developing. He bought one container of cement, next day the builder is telling him, we need cement. So we bought one container of cement yesterday, where is the cement? So exactly the same thing. Shatama haza, qazafa haza, akalamana haza. So day of Qiyamah the person will come eating, I got so much amal. So many times I went for Hajj, I went for Umrah, I was reading so many khatams, what I was doing. But his Islam wasn't made. So he was swearing this one, he was abusing that one, he was oppressing that one, because Islam wasn't made. His akhlaq, he wasn't refined. So now on the day of Qiyamah, he's thinking that I got these mountains of sawab and reward. But when he goes there, then he said, I do go to pay, bhai. You have to give that one, this one, that one, that one. And then the person after that, he got no deeds to give. Now forget mountains of sawab that he came with. Now he's collecting mountains of guna on his back. So this is how important this aspect of our tarbiyah, tazkiyah, this is why it is so important. Because this will protect our amal. Without this, a person's amal will be lost. So it is fine to promote amal, right? But it is very important that this tazkiyah is made. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam first wa yuzakkihim then wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikma And this is why you find in the first 13 years of Makkah Mukarrama, there was nothing. No Hajj, no Umrahs, no law of Zakat, no Salah also right in the end, right, and that too only for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu to read Namaz with Jamaat and all that came in Madina Munawara. So what was taking place in Makkah Mukarrama? It was all this building of Iman. Building of Iman, Tazkiyah, Tarbiyah. So now when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum reached a certain level, after that whatever was thrown at them, they could endure. They could make Qurbani, they could sacrifice. So this is the importance of this Tazkiyah, how important it is. That it is not something that some Mawlanas have made up. Somebody just decided we need to make something called Tasawwuf now and open up a couple of khankas and carry on. It's not like that. It is a branch of our deen. It's part and parcel of our deen. And not just part and parcel, an integral portion of our deen. To make our Islah, get rid of the akhlaq-e razila, bring in the akhlaq-e hamida. So many ahadith just on akhlaq. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he says, وَإِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That I have been sent to perfect good character. So we'll stop here. Allah Pak reward you. Allah Pak make it beneficial. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.